Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the Super Bowl tonight. It's a nice warm day today. So why don't you go out and stock up tonight? Get ready for the big game on Sunday. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, you want to make sure you're fully stocked. If you're having a party or you're going someplace, well, you want to make sure you have the best selection of beer anywhere. Right? Imports, domestics, microbrews, they have the best. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots of soft drinks, plenty of snacks. Lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great selection of pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. That's critical. Your trade-in's never been worth more. You got a sales staff's going to work with you. They have a great sales staff, just like we do here. And not only that, fabulous service department. This is really one-stop vehicle shopping. Great service department. Take care of the routine, inspections, diagnostics. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So this weekend, you have a lot of college basketball. Penn State tomorrow night, by the way, is at Minnesota at 8:30 on, beginning at 8 tomorrow night. Also, not only just college basketball over the weekend, I believe Ohio State, Michigan's playing college basketball this weekend as well. And Michigan State plays Indiana. Michigan State is here on Tuesday to take on Penn State. You also will have the Olympics this weekend. And the United States has been able to break through, as we talked yesterday, Nathan Chen winning the gold in men's figure skating, which was phenomenal. Chloe Kim repeats snowboarding, phenomenal. So now we'll find out, maybe this weekend the U.S. can gain some traction. And now it's going to be a little cooler tomorrow and really cold on Sunday. And here's one for you. Let me throw out an event this weekend that, again, you all know I love golf, but the Waste Management Open in Phoenix has the 16th hole, and I have been to TPC Scottsdale, and I've been there when the stands were up because I was out there for the Fiesta Bowl. That is one of the coolest sports stages, period. Not just golf, but a cool sports stage. I can guarantee you that before I watch the Super Bowl on Sunday, I'm going to be watching that, because, as you know, I don't start watching the Super Bowl till about 6:15. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk with Reginald Walker about the big game in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, all together now, including you right there on Routes 11 and 15. Indeed, second to none. I urge you. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. With so much going on this weekend, it's going to get cold on Sunday. Go out and stock up tonight. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, let's get into the big game. The Super Bowl on Sunday, Super Bowl 56, the Bengals and the Rams at SoFi in Inglewood. With that, we bring in the outstanding Reginald Walker. Sir, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Good to talk to you.
All right, so the game on Sunday. Let's talk about the two quarterbacks, which is the obvious place to start. So we'll go with the low-hanging fruit.
Yep.
All right. I look at Stafford, first overall pick with Detroit. Okay. And look, he's fought through his whole career, and he gets to this point. Terrific. Joe Burrow goes into Cincinnati last year, and Reginald, he gave him a puncher's chance in every game, which is something Stafford's never done. What do you see in these two guys?
Well, I see one guy who can stand back there in the pocket, the younger guy, right? Joe Burrow, year two, stands back there. He's not the – I think he better find his way to the weight room pretty quick if he's going to keep taking hits like that. But yeah, he's a guy that's unflappable, right? He's a guy that nothing bothers him. And if you're going to beat this Rams team and deal with guys like Aaron Donald and Floyd coming off the edge and Von Miller – and if you're going to deal with
And I'll give you another one, Greg Gaines. Nobody talks about Greg Gaines. He's a good player.
I couldn't think of his name. Yes, he's a really good player.
Yep.
If you're going to deal with that group up front, the way they can get after the quarterback, you better be a dude that's already in this playoffs, stood in the pocket, got sacked 9 times, and found a way to win a game, right? Like, you have to have that kind of, I guess moxie is the word that some people would use. I just call it pure toughness, right? I'm kind of old school, right? You've got to be tough enough to stand back there and take that beating, and I think he can do that. I think on the other side, when you look at a guy like Matthew Stafford, we've heard everything, right? He's got the arm talent, he's got this, he's got that. But then it's a matter of, are you of the camp, right, when it comes to Matthew Stafford, of you're going to give him the built-in excuse, right? Which is the Detroit Lions are a mess of an organization, or at least historically have been, while he was there particularly? Or are you going to flip it around and say he wasn't good enough, or he didn't find a way to lift his teammates above that?
Right.
And so I think that's the interesting aspect of it. And so to me, going into this game on Sunday, if he plays really well and loses, it's going to be an interesting conversation to watch what the narrative becomes,
right?
Because he could, the thing I think people forget about in sports, you can go out there and play really well, and that's why football is the ultimate team sport. You can go out there and play really well and lose.
No doubt,
it's very possible to do. So it wouldn't shock me if one of these guys goes out there and throws for 250 yards, 3 touchdowns, and ends up losing the Super Bowl,
right?
It also wouldn't shock me with both of these defenses if one of these guys goes out there and goes, I don't know, something sort of pedestrian, right? 18 for 37, right? For 210 yards, a touchdown, and a pick, and they win, right? Like, that's not out of the realm, because if you look at the Rams, we already talked about their defensive front. Obviously, in the back end, Jalen Ramsey feels like he's the best in the game. That's debatable, depending on who you talk to. Right. I do think he's up there.
I think it just depends
on who you talk to.
Have you heard my running joke about Jalen Ramsey? my running joke about Jalen Ramsey is, I hear all the time he's the best. I said he's got 15 career interceptions. I said, that's terrific. I said, Jack Ham at 32. In an era that when they didn't throw as much.
That's right.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's facts, right? They didn't throw it as much, and they didn't play as many games, right? They're at 17 games a year now, so yeah. I think that's one of the aspects.
It's just a joke. It's not, you know, it's
no, that's fair.
not meant to be anything. Just having fun with it.
Oh, yeah. And so you look at it from those two aspects, and you can see this game being a shootout or a low-scoring game. I'm zeroing in, honestly, on Sean McVay.
Yeah.
This is his second time here. Last time they scored 3 points, looked bad against the Patriots.
Didn't look good coaching 10 days ago.
That's right. And so the question is going to be, right, because if their offense looks bad again, I think the question is real simple, right? Does he start overthinking his play calling in big games? I'm not sitting here suggesting we need to talk about this guy's job.
Right.
But what I'm saying is he's been – sort of anointed, right? And we let, right, we being the world, let him lead us to believe the only reason they lost that Super Bowl is because Jared Goff was the quarterback.
Right.
It wasn't because maybe Jared Goff didn't play great, and also the coach that called the plays didn't do a great job of calling plays that week,
right?
Or maybe he didn't do a great job of putting together a game plan. against Bill Belichick. So that's a factor, too. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to look at, is what this offense looks like. And are they willing to lean on Cam Akers again after the two fumbles against Tampa? Because it's almost like last week they didn't want to go there, or 10 days ago, I should say. They didn't really want to go there because of the fumbles in the previous situation.
All right. As someone who's – I mean, look, I'm talking to somebody who's played, you know, and you've been around big games. As much as you try to prepare to make it the same as any other game, is that possible? Or is it possible because when you get in your bubble away from everybody, it does become possible?
No, I think it's hard. I really do think it's hard. And I'll say this, and this is going to sound almost like I'm on both sides of the fence, because I kind of am, right? When you think about it from the Rams' perspective, they can do a little bit better of a job of it because it's their home stadium, right? They can go through the same routine. They're at their normal training facility. All of that is the same. The problem is the buzz in the city is different. More family members are coming in town for the, it's a bigger deal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so from that standpoint, they're juggling both things, right? They're juggling, yeah, this is normal, but it's not, because people are in their face.
Right.
Right. Whereas the Bengals, they can try to treat it like just a road trip, right? That's a little bit longer because they're going to get there. You know, they've gotten there so much sooner than the normal Saturday night before a Sunday game.
Sure.
So it's going to be interesting to watch who handles that early. The crowd, I've always laughed at Super Bowl crowds. They're not going to be very raucous.
They're corporate.
Because a lot of it is corporate. I mean,
they're corporate. That's why do you think they changed the ball out on every single play? Because they're giving it to the corporate
exactly
donors.
Right. By the way, I don't know if you saw the ticket prices, but a lot of those look like zip codes. I'm just kind of leaving it at that.
Yeah.
Five numbers and it starts with a two. I think I'll be at home.
All I know is that I paid my cable bill. I feel good.
Yeah, that's it. So I think it's going to be interesting. How ironic is it that we back-to-back years, right, that we get teams playing in their home stadiums for the Super Bowl? Now, if the Raiders do this, I tell you what, Vegas is going to get some calls. People are going to put some, you know, they're going to put some wagers on the Raiders playing in their home stadium next year.
Yeah.
And if they get it, I mean, hey, I'm just saying.
Well, then I think that you and I go to Radio Row next year, you know, and check out the Bellagio and things like that. But then you and I go to Radio Row and we do the show there.
It sounds like a place I need to be, and I'll be there. I'll be there.
Just thought we'd throw that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
just thought we'd throw it out. I'm getting stare downs now from management. What does that mean? You interpret these things better than I do. I think if I always try to look at units, all right,
yeah.
And I don't mean units, offensive unit, defensive unit. Like I try to break down, like, okay, which is the strongest unit in the field? Where might the weakest unit be? Every time I go through this, I feel like the weakest unit is possibly the Bengals offensive line, but in the strongest unit might be the Rams defensive line. That's a bad combination.
It is. It's a horrible matchup. And that's why I think to combat that, Joe Mixon has to be special.
Yeah, you're right.
Just running the ball, but catching it out of the backfield. I think they've got to get into their screen game and slow Von Miller down a little bit. Slow down Floyd off the edge. You got to slow those guys off the edge.
No, you're talking about not just screen game, but quick game.
Quick game, screen, all that. Yep. Some quick flare outs. Just get the ball out of Burrow's hands. And I think the other thing, because this is the aspect that I think a lot of coaches forget about, and which is amazing to me because everybody wants these sort of mobile quarterbacks now.
Yeah.
Move his launch point. Give him some rollouts, some sprint outs, a couple of bootlegs. Just make them have to figure out where he is. Because I think if you're able to do that, and then I think if you're going to run the ball downhill, you do it off tackle so you can try to double Aaron Donald inside.
Mm-hmm.
But Leonard Floyd is not the biggest guy.
No, he's not.
He's athletic. He's very fast.
Yep.
But he's not the biggest. So if you can get him in a situation to where your right tackle, which is usually the stronger, bigger of your tackles in terms of overall girth. A lot of those guys, the Willie Andersons that used to play for the Bengals, you know, those guys are closer to 350 than 320, right? Your left tackles are 315, 320 right. sure. with long arms. So you want to, if you get him on that side, that's where you want to run the football. If Leonard Floyd is lined up as the left defensive end, you want to run the football right at him behind your right tackle,
yep.
using and really make him have to set the edge and be a point of attack guy. Because if you run away from him, he'll chase it down. Yeah. And Von Miller is experienced enough to know how to handle it. So if you get those situations, your best case scenario is Floyd at the left defensive end,
yep.
and Von Miller's on the other side, yep. and Aaron Donald's right next to him. Because you can run away from Aaron Donald and F the little guy. That's the perfect scenario for you.
It's always the little guy that gets beaten up in these things. All right. Reginald, we're all set for Radio Row next year. So
sounds good.
Looking forward to it.
I can't wait. And it'll be much warmer there than in State College. I love State College, but it'll be much warmer in Vegas.
It's 50 degrees here today.
Oh, might be warmer there than it is here in Charlotte. Yes, it is.
How about that?
I need to move.
Just so you know, my next game is in Minneapolis on Saturday.
I'll pray for it.
It's going to be 4 degrees.
I tell people all the time, the coldest I've ever been, and it was one time, Steve, was the walk from the hotel to the bus to go to the old Metrodome.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Forget about it.
Yes. Whew. I was on that walk with you. All right. And it was cold.
Yes.
Sir, thank you.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Enjoy Super Sunday.
Always fun to talk to my old friend Reginald Walker on the show. And today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We'll talk to Tracy Sandler next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The beverage supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Friday, heading into another big weekend, and it's the Super Bowl this weekend as the Bengals take on the Rams. So you're going to kick back like all of us, right? I know I'm going to kick back. I'm going to get back from Minnesota. Oh, I don't know. Like, according to the itinerary, it looks like we're getting back between 2 and 3 in the morning. Yeah, sleep in a little bit. Game's not till 6:30. You know me. I'll tune in at 6:15. Suit hates that. Suit hates the fact I wait till 6:15 to start watching. I don't watch any of the pregame stuff. Okay? I'm sorry. I don't know. No offense to the fine people that that work on 4 to 5 hour and 6 hour pregame shows, because it's a lot of hard work and they put a lot of energy and they do great work. But I don't need, no offense, a lot of help to watch the game. I'll watch college basketball on Sunday. And I'm going to watch the Waste Management Open for a period of time on Sunday. You're like, the Waste Management Open? The Waste Management Open has the 16th hole, which is a par three in a stadium setting. And the fans cheer and they boo, and the players throw stuff into the stands. It is one of the coolest settings. And I've been to TPC Scottsdale. Had dinner, in fact, at TPC Scottsdale for the Fiesta Bowl. And all the stands were up when we were there. It's the coolest setting. It's just phenomenal. And that's why I'm going to watch some of that till I get to the game. I mean, I freely admit I'm going to actually do some work during the afternoon, because once I get back, I'm going to start working on the Michigan State game. I've got a condensed schedule next week because I've got the game tomorrow night. So we're leaving tonight. I got the game tomorrow night at 8:30 at Williams. Probably going to get back close to about 3 in the morning on Sunday. But then I've got a game Tuesday with Michigan State, and then Minnesota again on Thursday, and then to Maryland on Monday the 21st. So I've got a lot of games here in a short period of time. So I'll probably take a good portion of Sunday and work on Michigan State, update Penn State, update Minnesota. That way I'm ahead of the game. Minnesota has to play at Ohio State on Tuesday. So I'll probably get that work done while having some basketball on in the background and the golf on in the background. That way when it comes time for the game at 6:30, feet will be up. I'll just relax. And I'm going to enjoy my Brewers Outlet beverages. That's right. Brewers Outlet. So it's time to stock up. There's no doubt. Time to stock up is right now. Yeah, it's a little warmer. It's going to be warmer tomorrow, too. Sunday's going to be cold. So you want to make sure you have your beverages already cold before the cold rolls in. That means you want to go over to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water. Always got to have plenty of water. Lots and lots of great soft drinks. Snacks. No offense, it's okay to snack all you want on Super Bowl Sunday. Enjoy it. Lots of snacks. 6 great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Yes, you in New Berlin. You're listening. There you go. Right there in New Berlin. Let's do it together now. Indeed, second to none. Good job. I can hear you from here. Nice job. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. All right. So the big game is coming up on Sunday. By the way, Frank Bodani in the next half hour. Ken Pomeroy, some numbers on basketball in the final half hour. So we're going to go Super Bowl one more time here with Tracy. Then we're going to go to Penn State football with Frank. Then we're going to go do some college basketball with Ken Pomeroy, final half hour. So the Fangirl Network, she started it. It's on the Bleav podcast as well. Tracy Sandler. Tracy, what a pleasure. Great to have you with us on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what inspired you to start Fangirl Sports Network?
Well, I grew up a very big sports fan. I have loved sports all of my life, and I just didn't feel like there was content that was speaking directly to female fans. So I wanted to create something that went a little bit off the field, did a little bit more features and lifestyle in conjunction with, you know, analysis and game recaps and all of that stuff. And I also wanted to create somewhere we could highlight women in the industry and the amazing things that they're doing. So that was really the genesis of it.
All right, so in the 6 years... You know, you start out with an initial idea as to how you want to do it. First couple of years you're executing. What changes have you made over the, now in years 5 and 6?
Well, a lot of changes that we've added merchandise in. We added in a second podcast. Our first podcast premiered a few years ago. Originally, we had just a 49ers podcast. So now the Tracy Sandler Show is all encompassing and Get My Job highlights women in the industry. And we changed the business model somewhat. We used to have fangirls for all of the teams. And we found that our content was really better served when focusing on the brand. And then obviously the content I do covering the 49ers. So there's been, you know, a variety of changes, obviously ups and downs as there always is, but I'm really happy with where we are and proud of kind of the strides that we've made.
You know, it's interesting because strides have been made with women broadcasting sports, not enough, but strides have been made from the Lisa Byingtons to Beth Mowins. We've had, you know, who have both been on the show, and Kate Scott, whom we think the world of. She was on the show just a couple of months ago.
She was a Get My Job guest, and she was fantastic.
Isn't she? Kate is wonderful, and really good. She outworks people, right? And I think that's important. Did you feel? I'll dovetail off of what I talked with Kate about. Have you felt that even though you're trying to carve that niche, that you've had to outwork people to make this happen?
Well, I think, you know, I think there's always a part of that because there's always another person who wants your job or wants to do what you're doing. And I think that's important. You know?
I do the play-by-play for Penn State football and basketball. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's always so many incredibly talented people and, you know, working hard. I think we have hit a little bit of a culture, and I hope that we can kind of back on this, that, you know, that we have to always show the hustle and that we're working harder than everybody else. And I think there's pluses and minuses to that and pros and cons. And I think it's important to, you know, also give yourself some time and space. But absolutely, you know, you don't want to say no to things and you want to constantly be on and constantly be working. And that is I hate the word balance, so I'm not going to use it, but that's a struggle. I'll go with that in itself. But yeah, I mean, it is important that you are always kind of working and keeping your finger on the pulse because there are so many talented people in this world, in this industry, and I do think it is going to be the people that are, you know, probably putting in that little bit extra effort. But I feel that I've been really lucky, too, because I've met with very supportive people. Fangirl's been met with a ton of support, and I feel like I'm very, very lucky because I haven't had too much backlash or negativity around what we're doing, which has been great as well.
If you're a really good pro, you won't. So that's what you are.
Well, thank you.
So let's get to, you do a lot of work around the 49ers. And so what has made them, it's an interesting organization that Kyle Shanahan, I know, gets a lot of credit for what goes on. Robert Saleh is now the head coach of the Jets after the great work he did with their defense. What has allowed the 49ers to get themselves into a prime spot, even though this year they didn't get over that last speed bump to get to the Super Bowl?
Well, I think they've done a very good job at building this team from the time Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch came in, and everybody bought in. And it was interesting because I've been covering the team now since 2016. Yeah. You know, in that first season, they went, I want to say it was 0-9 before they won a game.
Right.
But what was so interesting was that locker room was not a depressed locker room because everyone had bought in. Everybody knew there was a plan. Everybody knew it was a rebuild. And there was excitement around the organization. I think that's just continued over these last several years. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have done an incredible job of surrounding themselves with people who've gone on to be hired in other positions. You mentioned Robert Saleh, Mike McDaniel this week is now the head coach of the Dolphins. Adam Peters had been interviewing for a number of GM jobs. They've obviously surrounded themselves with really smart, really capable, really great people, and it's helped build the organization. And they've built a football team of people who have bought in, of who actually like each other, who really like football and understand what needs to be done. And there's not a lot of ego on this team. You know, if you look at George Kittle, who's probably one of the best tight ends in the league, and the way he's been used, there's not ego. The point is to win, and everybody's in on winning. And I think that is a huge part of what they've built.
Only knows every time Debo Samuel touches the ball, I'm like, okay, let the fun begin.
Everyone's favorite wide back.
Yeah, exactly. So now I do have to ask you about Jimmy Garoppolo. The record, Kyle Shanahan's record as a head coach when Jimmy Garoppolo starts is about 667 in terms of winning percentage. Games he hasn't started, they only have 8 wins. Right. How tough might it be for Kyle Shanahan, the coach, to not have Jimmy Garoppolo there, knowing that he's had some success tied to Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, I think, you know, this, it makes for the very interesting Jimmy Garoppolo conversation. And when they made the trade to get Trey Lance, you know, a lot of that was based on Jimmy Garoppolo's kind of inability to stay healthy, which is probably not, you know, not his fault. Mm-hmm. And that's part of football and part of the game. But, you know, that has been an issue. Of course, this year he, for the most part, stayed healthy and was able to play, even though at the end he was playing hurt. So I think that that is a challenge. I do think, and I have the utmost respect for Jimmy Garoppolo, and I do think he is a very, very good quarterback. And a lot of what we just talked about before about how they've built success is Jimmy Garoppolo. When you see where the team was before he got there in 2017 to now, it's a pretty incredible jump. But I think in Trey Lance, Kyle Shanahan has another very talented quarterback with a very high ceiling, and that's no disrespect to Brian Hoyer and C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins, but those were the other quarterbacks he was working with when it wasn't Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
And I do think Trey Lance is a more, you know, gifted quarterback and probably has more potential. And again, that is no disrespect to any of those people because I really enjoyed covering them and I think they're great people. But I do think that's part of it as well. But the loss of Jimmy will be a loss. I mean, this locker room loves Jimmy. He's been a leader on this team. He's been a huge part of the rebuild of this organization, and I don't think that can be discounted as they make the transition.
You know, Tracy, what's interesting is I feel like, and this is from 30,000 feet here, that that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan made the Trey Lance pick because they feel the future of the league is a quarterback like that.
Yeah, I think that might be true.
Right. So now let's take the next part of it. I really have not watched him play. You know, it's kind of hard to do. I mean, you know, when he's at North Dakota State, he played one game in a year, and I didn't exactly make that appointment viewing, no offense to North Dakota State and the one game they played.
To the Bison.
So you've seen him play. So what is it about him that you think he can bring to the table?
Well, I think what you see, and this is something we started to see in training camp, and it dropped off some, and then his first start was a little rocky, but the improvement into his second start was pretty incredible. But you see these flashes of the kinds of things where he is able to extend plays, the way he reads the defense, the dynamic, explosive plays that he's capable of. And we definitely have seen flashes of that. And I do believe when he gets a full offseason first team reps and knowing he is the quarterback, it's just going to get better and better. I'm not saying he's going to come in next year and, you know, light the league on fire. He could. I'm not thinking he won't either. But I think you see a ceiling and potential with him that he can just be a really explosive, incredible quarterback. And I think that's what we saw. We saw him make some passes in training camp that you were like, okay, yep, that's why they made that trade. And we didn't get to see it as much in game action. But that I don't, you know, I think that's just the nature of the season and the nature of where he was and how much playing time he got. But when you, if you really look at the difference between starts one and two, it's not that the second start was like groundbreaking, but the improvement was so incredible. You can see just where he's going to go from there.
Right. So I have to ask you about the Super Bowl. So it's not like the Niners.
Of course.
The Niners aren't unfamiliar with these teams. They are very familiar,
yes, both of them.
Especially
yes.
with one.
Yes.
Especially with one above all. But, I mean, what – I've looked at Cincinnati and I've looked at the Rams, and I try to look at units, and I don't mean an offensive unit, defensive unit.
Right.
I feel like the weakest unit in the field might be the Cincinnati offensive line. The strongest unit in the field might be the Rams defensive line, and that's a bad combination.
I think you're right. I think you're very right about that.
So how do you view this game as to what you think will be important the first quarter and a half that we should be looking at that could set the tone for the final two and a half quarters?
Well, I think Cincinnati is going to have to keep pace with the Rams for that first quarter and a half. I mean, that Cincinnati offensive line, the much maligned Cincinnati offensive line, is going to have to figure out a way to protect Joe Burrow. I mean, I've been picking the Bengals, and my reasoning is that the Rams are the better team and they are a team of superstars, and all conventional wisdom says the Rams will win this game, but I now refuse to bet against Joe Burrow. That used to be my Tom Brady philosophy. That is now going to be my Joe Burrow philosophy, is that I will not go against Joe Burrow. And I think if they can give him a modicum of protection, I think he's really special and he can do amazing things. Again, you look at the Rams, the two units you just talked about, you just look at all the stars they have on the field. Yeah. All conventional wisdom say the Rams are going to win this game. Mm-hmm. But I think it is going to be a much closer game than people expect. And I am going to pick the Bengals to win because I think if it comes down to the wire when push comes to shove, yeah, I'm all in on Joe Burrow.
It's interesting because he only played six games last year. And in the six games, I'm watching him. Now, the only time I ever saw him in person, Tracy, he was warming up for Ohio State in the sideline. That was it. He didn't get
any. He said terrible words. I went to Michigan.
I know. I understand. The team from the South. But I said the first six games, I said, you know what I like about this guy is that the Bengals aren't very good, and they weren't very good last year. I said, this guy gives them a puncher's chance in every game. You have to be a special talent to do that. Now he's got a little more around him. So I'm with you. I think Burrow's got a little something that a lot, you know, somebody, you have it, you just can't put your finger on what it means, but he seems to have it.
Yes, I would agree with that on every level.
Except for the part where he's at Ohio State.
Except for the part of Ohio State. But then he ended up going to LSU, which is why I've chosen to just forget that part ever happened. That's just my own personal decision.
Well, you could actually take into account that Ohio State didn't play him.
Right. Exactly. There you go. Exactly.
You could take pride in that.
Exactly. 100%. So I can be all in on Joe Burrow and you know, move on. I'm all in on Nick Bosa, so I guess I can be all in on Joe Burrow.
Be all in on Kevin Givens too. He's from Altoona, just down the road, a Penn Stater, and Robbie Gold. Okay,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin Givens grew up 40 miles south of here. Mm-hmm. Robbie Gold grew up 35 miles north of here. They're both Penn State guys. So there you go.
Fantastic! I love it. This is what I like to hear.
Tracy, thank you. It was an absolute pleasure. I hope you enjoyed being on the show. We loved having you.
I absolutely did. Thank you so much, and have a great rest of your Super Bowl week.
Oh, that was great. Tracy, thank you so much. Tracy Sandler joining us. Believe Sports Podcast, also the CEO and the person behind the Fangirl Sports Network. It's great to have her on. Great perspective. All right, so Frank Bodani in the next half hour, York Daily Record. We'll talk some Penn State football with Frank. And Ken Pomeroy, final half hour. We'll run down some of the numbers of college basketball with him. And he is the numbers guru. I was talking to my class about analytics. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to have to go back and talk to them again about this next week because we're going to start the play-by-play segment next week. And I said to them the other day in class, analytics, schmanalytics. You're going to have a feel for the game. All right, I'm going to have to go in and correct that with them. And the reason I'm going to have to correct that with them is that, look, do we sit down and look at analytics when preparing? Yes. Are we married to analytics on the broadcast? No. Once the game starts, you start doing the game. But to set the game up to let people know what you might see, we'll use some numbers to say, look, this team defensively is X. Minnesota, for example, defensively, their two-point percentage against them in conference play is dead last in giving up two-pointers around the basket. See, that's how you use it in such a way. And then you incorporate it into the play-by-play. So I'm going to talk to them about that next week. We'll have Ken Palm on final half hour. All right, today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 at 15 Elms Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Frank Bodani in the next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.